take it off. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest news, photos, videos, and more straight from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Told you we're going to have staff writer Kevin Jones with us, and he joins us now on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And KJ, yesterday you posted a great story about Dante Whitner being the Browns' enforcer. Had some quotes from Dante as well as from defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. What is your sense of what he is going to bring to this defense?
I love talking to Dante Whitner, Nathan, because you learn something new about him every time. Yesterday he reveals he calls Brian Dawkins every Friday and Saturday before a game. It's one of his mentors, of course, the 9-time Pro Bowler with the Eagles and the Broncos. So he really listens to older people that have been involved in the NFL, and he wants to be that person in 10 years. He wants a young player to call him like he's calling Brian Dawkins. So, you know, I'm talking with some people with the 49ers who cover the team out there. It was never Dante Whitner's defense. It was Patrick Willis's. It was Navarro Bowman's, Justin Smith, those guys out there. Whitner kind of kept to himself, wasn't the vocal leader in San Francisco that he is now here in Cleveland. Jim O'Neill said it perfectly. The attitude changed the minute Dante Whitner walked into this building. He's embracing this leadership role. He's an old 28. He's been in the league for 9 years. He likes putting his body through this. He likes being the guy who hits people. He got flagged five times last season for 15-yard penalties. None of them were fine, though. He prides himself on playing the game clean. He's going to be that T.J. Ward role, up in the box, leveling people. He is the enforcer, the NHL-style hitter on the Cleveland Browns.
KJ, when you talk about that leadership, too, and you watch practice, what are some of the things that you see from Dante Whitner that kind of demonstrates that?
You know, people say, oh, he's going to mentor just Tayshaun Gibson, turn him into a great free safety, but watching Dante Whitner, he'll pull backup linebacker Larry Grant to the side and point some things out where he can do better in coverage. He's in talking with Billy Winn and some of the defensive linemen on how they can drop back and sort of change things up. So not only is he tutoring members of the secondary, it's the entire defense. He's really embraced that role. Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for a long time with him in the 49ers, challenged Whitner to be this kind of guy. And it's carrying over here in Cleveland, not just on the practice field. You see Dante Whitner leave the weight room. He is dripping in sweat. He's always one of the last people to leave there. The work ethic, the determination has changed here in Cleveland with the coaching staff. But mainly Dante Whitner is a guy this team is going to pride itself on modeling their game after, everyone on the defense, not just in the secondary.
And defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill referred to him as a follow me or else type of a leader. I like that. And it's something, an identity and a nastiness this team has been missing. And Dante Whitner, you're seeing this on the field, off the field as well, Kevin. Do you think this is exactly what this young team needed, with somebody to come in and kind of just take the reins, say, listen, this is how we're going to do things. I've been to 3 straight NFC Championship games, been to a Super Bowl. Follow me. I'll show you how to do it.
Right, yeah. You don't see Dante Whitner joking around or smiling a lot during practice. He's serious because the time here in April, May, and June is when the 49ers built themselves into a championship-style team. This is the real work here, you know. Playing in the NFL on Sundays, that's the fun part. This is where the grind happens. Dante Whitner, like you said, is taking the reins. Follow me or else. If someone is slacking off or someone is goofing off, you know, I haven't seen it firsthand, but I'm hearing from within the building, he will come and say, come on, this is the time now that we need to focus, especially with the playbook, especially with how many different looks this defense is going to give offenses. So, yes, you know, I wasn't here last year. It seems like the Browns lacked someone with a heavy voice and someone who, you know, you could follow. And Whitner is embracing that role. Like I said, in San Francisco, he wasn't that guy. So he wants to be that here in Cleveland. It's clearly showing in the OTAs. Jim O'Neill, I've never heard him speak so highly of a player. They're going to put a lot on Whitner's plate, and he's going to dish it out to his teammates so they can perform well too.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, joining us here on CBD via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And, Kevin, you another, by the way, we're referring to Dante Whitner. You can check out the outstanding feature that you did on him that is posted now on clevelandbrowns.com. And also, and this is, I love this, the kind of day-to-day with practices, notes and observations and quotes that you also put together on our website. Give me some of the other thoughts from the OTAs, and especially what you saw yesterday, some other key observations.
One key one that I'm sticking with here, Buster Skrine, there is a chance that he's going to start the season at outside cornerback. He's very motivated, Jim O'Neill said, in the classroom. He's been asking so many questions. You know, he's learning the inside slot corner position too, but he made a couple plays yesterday in OTA, some deflections, was up on some runs. You know, Justin Gilbert, just like Johnny Manziel and all the other rookies, is going to be given the chance to start. But it seems like me, Skrine, more than any other veteran on this team, is really strangleholding that second corner position. He doesn't want to give it up. Another observation, I know us two had this debate Friday on the show, that Justin Gilbert will not be returning kicks. He'll likely be the starter. Interesting from Chris Tabor. He said Cordell Patterson last year with the Vikings was the return man. He was a first-round pick. He took two punts to the house. The Seahawks are talking about Earl Thomas returning punts. So he said, we have had discussions here. We know he's a valuable guy. We don't want him to get hurt. But Justin Gilbert could be that big of a game changer for us returning kicks that we are definitely considering starting him week one on special teams.
Well, so I don't think there's any doubt that Chris Tabor is going to push hard for that.
No doubt.
it's just that the guy with the final say on that, he's the bald-headed dude. That's Mike Patton.
Right, but hey, the discussion is on the table, and I never really thought of it that way. You know, with some other teams using prominent players, you don't really see it. But as a rookie, I think you want to take advantage of that. I know the Cardinals did with Patrick Peterson. He broke up. You know, he
specialized had circumstances. I could see that happening.
Right. And one other observation here: Barkevious Mingo looks much more comfortable in coverage, dropping back with his footwork, and I'm not talking 10, 15 yards. He's 25 yards down the field next to Dante Whitner breaking up a pass. Can see him being used. I know we want him to be an elite pass rusher here in Cleveland, but I can see him getting a couple interceptions. I know this scheme has linebackers all over the place. He has definitely improved mentally where he needs to be on the field during passing situations.
Yeah, I think you saw that there was the particular play where he was down there, as you mentioned, 25, 30 yards, almost got an interception off a deflection from Dante Whitner covering Jordan Cameron there. Yeah, I think he's done a lot better in those type of situations in coverage. He does look much more fluid. Kevin, we appreciate you joining us as always here on the show. Check out his great work on the website, clevelandbrowns.com, on Twitter, at Mr_KevinJones. And KJ, by the way, listen, folks, the guy's new in town. You got to help him out. We're trying to get some Memorial Day love for him. You guys got to do better going forward. Would you agree, KJ? Come on.
I was disappointed, Nathan. I thought you had clout on Twitter. I thought I was going to have 35 mentions. I was disappointed. Some guy in Columbus said I can come on his boat in August. That was all I got. So, Cleveland, come on. Give me
some love.
Here. I'm trying to make friends, and if you're a female too, that would be great. So I'll be monitoring Twitter this afternoon. Also, just one quick thing: I shadowed tight ends coach Brian Angelico yesterday for the whole day. I'm going to have that article coming here in the next couple hours. Very interesting what an assistant coach goes through during OTAs. A lot of hard work going on in Berea that no one really knows about. So that's look for that.
And he's
story.
A cool guy. He's like a fun guy to be around.
Yeah, he's my homeboy now. Yeah. We both grew up in Central New York, so kind of were raised on the same water.
So be on the lookout. That article will be up in the next couple hours on clevelandbrowns.com. Vic, Nathan, thanks, guys.
You got it. Thank you
Love
so
having
much,
you on
Kevin.
Here, KJ.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, get on the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Call us up. Let's talk about OTAs. You got any questions about them, what we've seen? You want to respond to Kyle Shanahan's comments? We can even hear a few more of those as well when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now when the sun come up, I'll be there to say what up in the morning. Brush my teeth, find that clip.